It's been said that anything is possible if you have enough money.
I want money.
But the truth is, money will buy a bed, but not sleep. Books, but not brains. Food, but not appetite. Finery, but not beauty. A house, but not a home. Medicine, but not health. Luxuries, but not culture. Amusements, but not happiness. Religion, but not salvation. A passport to everywhere, but heaven.
If the things we place the greatest value in are rooted and grounded in the things of this world, our hearts will also be rooted and grounded in the things of this world.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp, a ministry of Sligo Seventh-day Adventist Church in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. What we spend our money on says a lot about the place it holds in our hearts. And this week, Charles Tapp begins a five-part series that examines a touchy subject, but offers a glimpse into what God expects of those who follow Him. With part one of God versus Money, A Battle for the Heart.
I think I should warn you that today's message may be a difficult one for many of us to handle. And why do I say that? Because it falls into the category of what many would refer to or consider as being one of the most controversial topics for discussion in the church today. And no, it's not women's ordination and it's not sexual orientation. Although for some, these may be easier topics to discuss than the one we will look at today. But just to be clear, today's message is about a topic which the Bible deals a great deal with. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself spoke about this particular topic at great lengths. For 16 out of 38 of the parables that Jesus told dealt with this issue. And when it comes to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one out of every 10 verses, 288 verses, deals with this subject matter. So what is this somewhat controversial topic which Jesus has no hesitation, no problem in teaching, but yet many Christians find uncomfortable to deal with? Why, it is the topic of money. That's right, M-O-N-E-Y. Some of you are already squirming in your pews. Also known in some Christian circles as the third rail of church topics to be avoided. Today, we begin a three-part series on the topic of money, and I've titled this series, God versus Money, A Battle for the Heart. And the reason why I've titled it A Battle for the Heart is because of the passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at in some great length today, and that is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to verse 24. And although Matthew 6 is best known for the Lord's Prayer, it also must be considered in a somewhat larger context. And it is the context of Jesus' discourse that we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And if you remember from our series some time ago, the Sermon on the Mount is about the Kingdom of God motif, which Jesus spoke a great deal about. So in essence, the Sermon on the Mount is basically Jesus' instruction. It is his teaching on how those should live who consider themselves to be citizens of the kingdom of God. It is this teaching that Jesus gives us to let us know this is how he expects us to conduct our lives and every aspect of our lives if we want to be truly part of the kingdom of God. The Sermon on the Mount is to the Christian what the U.S. Constitution is to the citizens of this great nation. For just as our Constitution serves as a means to convey the fundamental principles that help govern our land, the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' way of laying out for all potential citizens, as well as current citizens, the principles of the kingdom of God that he values. And if we had to sum it up in basically one small, concise thought as to what God truly values in the lives of his people, it is this. It is righteousness, and not a righteousness that is from without, but what the kingdom of God places great value in is righteousness that springs from within. In essence, it is a righteousness of the heart. And in a way in which only Jesus could, he lays out masterfully how this should look by focusing on three important areas of our lives as believers. First of all, he focuses on the good acts, the charitable deeds that you and I as Christians commit and do in the lives of people from time to time. And the counsel that Jesus gives here in performing these acts of kindness is that when we do them, we should not announce to the world of what we had done. We should not sound the trumpet. There's no need for us to go on social media and let everyone know of the act of kindness that we have performed. He says that's not how a citizen of the kingdom of God acts or behaves. There's no need to put out a press release. There's no need to announce it in church. In other words, if you're a kingdom of the citizen, you're a citizen of God's kingdom, and when it comes to doing good things, Jesus says, just do it. There's no need for you to have TV cameras following you behind so you can be on the 6 o'clock news. Just do the act. Because what God values most in the church, in the people of the church, is not what we do, but what God values is why we do what we do. It is a righteousness of the heart. Secondly, Jesus deals with the topic of prayer and fasting. And again, Jesus makes it an issue of the heart. So he says, when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites. That word hypocrite means an actor. In other words, don't perform. There's no need for pretense. Just pray. Just be honest. Just be real. Just be transparent and approach God as Abba Father, one who knows and one who cares and is concerned about you. And more than anything else, one who wants to establish a relationship with you. Don't get up and pray these long prayers and try to pontificate to let everyone know how holy you are. Don't fast and walk around with your head down and people ask you, how you doing? Oh, I'm just fasting today. You pray for me. I'm going to make it through. Jesus says, just pray. Just fast, because the reason for fasting is to come aside from the material world to spend more time and focus on the spiritual things of life. And too many of God's people, when they fast, they go on a seafood diet. The only reason they fast is so that others can see them fast, to draw attention to themselves. That's an outward righteousness. That's not what God values in his kingdom. God values a righteousness that is from within and not from a righteousness that is from without. And then when it comes to doing good, when it comes to praying and fasting, and then finally Jesus says, when it comes to the kingdom of God, those who claim to be citizens, there's one other area of which I value, and that is how we operate with our money. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to verse 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen, in these few verses, Jesus is very specific as to what a citizen of the kingdom of God should prioritize and what they should not. In these verses, Jesus warns against the priority of things like clothes, things that will ultimately wear out over time, and if they don't wear out, they will go out of style. Jesus also warns against placing an inordinate value on metals because they can be subjected to things like rust, including the one thing made of metal that many of us value, I would dare say most of us value, and that is our automobile. But I learned as a child, because my father worked for Chrysler Motor Company for over almost 30 years, and he said, son, when it snows, and after the snow has melted, wash your car and wash it underneath, because the salt that is put on the streets will rust out your car. You know what I'm talking about, Aaron? So I said, you know what? I'm going to go by after church, been to church all day in the office, and I'm going to wash my car. I went to the car wash, and there was a line that led out the parking lot of the car wash all the way down the street and was stopping traffic up near the Beltway. I said, oh, my goodness. Well, I'll come back in the morning. So the next morning I went, and the very same thing. So I came in the middle of the day, and it took me about maybe 45 minutes before I was able to get in. Why? Because we value those things made of metal, our automobiles, because they cost a great deal. But Jesus says, don't even put your treasure, don't even value those things above the kingdom of God, because they too will eventually be subject to rust. And then Jesus gives his final reason as to why we should not place too much on earthly treasures, and that is because there is always the potential that the things that you've worked long and hard for, someone can come and steal. You can sacrifice your blood, sweat, and tears, and there are people in our society today who have no problem taking what you have worked for. And because of technology now, they don't even have to leave their home to take the money you have earned because of the cyber theft and cyber warfare that is going on all around us. Your bank account, everything you have worked for, can be taken in an instant, and all of your pertinent and important information. As a matter of fact, I was looking at the latest stats from the NCSS, the National Computer Security Survey, and they said in 2018, millions had their livelihoods stolen because of cyber theft. So Jesus says, don't even put your value on things like money and all the things that money can buy, because someone could always take it from you. But then Jesus' argument as to why we should not make our treasure out of earthly things reaches a crescendo in verse 21. He says, for where your what? Treasure is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Please don't miss this. For Jesus' message here is painfully clear. The way we use our wealth is an indication of the condition and the nature of our hearts. In other words, If the things we place the greatest value in are rooted and grounded in the things of this world, our hearts will also be rooted and grounded in the things of this world. Listen, when you read verse 21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." And I love how it reads in the Amplified. It says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart, your wishes, your desires, that on which your life centers will be also." Think about it for a moment. If our lives center on the things of this world, then our lives will be consumed with that which is corruptible, that which is vulnerable, and that which is temporary.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and part one of God versus Money, a battle for the heart. Simple Truths for Life is a ministry of Sligo Seventh-day Adventist Church in Tacoma Park, Maryland. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this. We all long for acceptance. And at Sligo Church, we believe all are gifted, all are valued. Sligo has a diverse, multicultural, multi-generational membership with over 100 years of rich worship heritage. We hope you can plan to visit sometime. To learn more and to discover what Sligo has to offer, please visit sligochurch.org. This is Simple Truths for Life, and this week, Charles Tapp offers a glimpse into the place money has in our hearts and what God expects of those who follow him. As he concludes part one of this message, God versus Money, a battle for the heart.
If our lives center on the things of this world, then our lives will be consumed with that which is corruptible, that which is vulnerable, and that which is temporary. But Jesus continues his thoughts in verses 22 and verse 24. He says, "The lamp of the body is what? The eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be what? Full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Verse 24. Then he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will what? Hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot," Jesus says, "you cannot serve God and mammon." Please don't miss this. By good, Jesus means single. He means undivided. He means focused. And by bad, he means just the opposite, meaning that your heart is divided, your vision is blurred, there is no central focus in your life. In essence, Jesus is making the point that you cannot be a good citizen of the kingdom of God and be a citizen of the kingdom of this world at this same time. Yes, you can be in the world, but not of the world, but you cannot be a citizen of God's kingdom and be a citizen of the kingdom of the world, because the value systems are completely antithetical in nature. You cannot serve the kingdom of God and mammon, money, which is the god of this world. This word mammon is an interesting word because it originally meant that which you gave to a banker to put away in trust for you, and ultimately down the line it began to mean that which you now place your trust in. And I think it's interesting how we put on money, "in God we trust," but that's not really the case. It's not really God we trust. We trust God, the money, the mammon. And Jesus says, "You cannot be a citizen of my kingdom. Your eye will be going in this direction and the other eye will be going in that direction, and you will not be focused. You will not be single, which means your vision will be blurred. You will not be able to have the kind of eyesight that a Christian, that a citizen of the kingdom of God has. If you don't believe me, try going in two directions at the same time. Try taking your left eye and look over there and take your right eye and look over there. You can't do it and walk a straight line. But then Jesus reminds us that where our treasure is, our heart will be there as well. Look at Ecclesiastes. We go to the Old Testament for a moment. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, as we look at verses 10 and verse 11. Whoever loves money never has what? Enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is what? Meaningless. Look at verse 11. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. Think about that for a moment. And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? What is God's word saying? The more we get of money, if we love money, if we value money, if that's where our heart really is, we will never have enough, because the more we get, the more we want. I haven't reached that point in my life yet, because I don't really love money. I appreciate money. But then it says that the more you get, the more you'll have to spend to take care of the things you bought with the money you got. I said, wow, that's deep. That's why I don't own a Mercedes-Benz. Well, two reasons why. One, I can't afford it. That's the first thing. Two, have you ever taken a Mercedes-Benz to the dealership to get it repaired? Are you kidding me? My wife, before we got married, before we were dating, she was going to buy a sports car. And she had brought the car home, she told me. It was a two-seater. It was a convertible. And I'm sure she thought she was looking good in that car. But then her father said, take that car back. And then he told her why. He said, you may be able to afford the payments, but do you know what's going to cost you when a part goes bad? The more we get, the more we want, and the more things we get, the more we have to spend on the things that we got with the money we got in the first place. You want a bigger house? Now you got to pay to get the yard cut. Now you've got to pay someone to come in and clean it. Jesus says, where your money is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And I think this word treasure is an interesting word, because it doesn't just refer to the thing we place value in and the thing that we store away, but in other contexts, it also refers to the very thing itself. It refers to the place where we put our treasure, where we put those things that have value. And that being the case, then, this is what I really believe is the point that Jesus is trying to make here in verse 21. That the real thing that you and I should value is not money, it's not material things, it's not things that can be stolen, things that can rust. The real thing that we need to guard, the real thing that you and I need to protect, the real thing that has value in the kingdom of God is our hearts. So the question that Jesus wants to know is, where have we stored our hearts? Have we stored our hearts in the kingdom of this world, or have we stored our hearts in the kingdom of God? Look at this quotation by Larry Burkett. Some of you may be familiar with him. Christian money manager, had a radio show that came on for many years. He has since passed. But look at what he says here. When we surrender every area of our lives, including our finances, to God, then we are free to trust him to meet our needs. But if we would rather hold tightly to those things that we possess, then we find ourselves in bondage to those very things. And when I read that quote by Larry Burkett, I said, now I understand why money is such a sensitive, challenging topic for many Christians to deal with. And that is because the way to handle money in a way that is pleasing to the kingdom of God calls for surrender. And if you and I want to be citizens of God's kingdom, when we are able to give God and surrender our money, we are able to surrender every other thing in our lives. Why? Because that's where most of our hearts are, rooted in the God of money. But once we can surrender the money to God, He'll have access to every other part of our lives. So the greatest battle in this world today is not those that take place in the air, in the cyber world, or those that take place on the battlefield. The greatest battle in the world today is the battle for the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl. And that's the thing that we need to treasure. That's the thing that we need to value. That's what God says, store your heart away, not in the kingdom storehouse of this world, but store your heart in the kingdom and the storehouse of heaven. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And I challenge God's people today, what kingdom has your heart taken root in? Is it in the kingdom of this world? Or is your heart planted deeply in the kingdom of God? More than anything else, our money and how we use it or don't use it is a powerful demonstration as to whether we are truly citizens of the kingdom of God or citizens of the kingdom of this world. And only what we do for God will last. Who says amen to that today? Father God, we thank you today. This issue of money, it's not about money. It's about our hearts and where we have stored our hearts. Father, you warned us against storing it in the storehouse of this world. But we need to place it in the storehouse of the kingdom of God. Because once you've got that, Lord, you've got everything. For our heart reveals how we spend our money, how we spend our time, what we do with our talents, what we do with our influence. It's all about the heart. So, Father, I pray, as did the psalmist David, that you would create within us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Because we've got to make the decision, a tough choice, whether we're truly citizens of the kingdom of this world or whether we're truly citizens of the kingdom of God. And Father, may we use the monies, the resources that you give us, not to advance the kingdom of this world, but to advance the kingdom of God. That's our prayer today. That's where we want to invest our resources, not in the things that are temporary, but in the things that are eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and part one of God versus Money, A Battle for the Heart. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts. Just click subscribe so you don't miss any future messages. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.org. Now, here's what we're working on for next week.
What's going to happen tomorrow? If I'm going to have enough to eat tomorrow? If I'm going to have the clothing that I need? If I'm going to be able to pay the bills that I need to pay? And this is the issue that Jesus addresses here.
We worry an awful lot about money. And next week, Pastor Tapp continues with the second part in this series, God versus Money, by helping you discover peace with what you have and how to trust God more fully to meet your needs. With his message, The Wolves of Worry. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.